33. We're going to look at verse number 12. I would like for us to read together when you get there, verse number 12 in unison. Of course, tomorrow is our nation's birthday. You don't have to be around here very long. You'll find out we love our country. We're very grieved over the direction our country is going in some ways, but nevertheless, we love our country and thank God for America. You know, years ago, on the 4th of July, what Americans did in just about every town, they would have a big rally down either at the courthouse or some common area downtown, and they would have great speeches and great, they would play patriotic songs, and statesmen and preachers and leaders in the community would come and give great, great speeches, sometimes on hours on end. And they would speak about the principles of freedom. They would address our Constitution and great statements and truths presented in our Constitution. They would often preach sermons on God's blessings and God's hand in our land. And we've kind of gotten away from that, haven't we? And now it's pretty much picnics and parties and games. And I'm afraid we're losing some of the understanding and appreciation for what we have here in America. My wife and I were talking yesterday and last evening. We were talking about, you know, there's 7 point some billion people in the world. And what would the chances be that God would allow you and I to be born in America? Of all the people in the world, we are a small minority, a little over 300 million people out of 7 billion in the world. And the chances that God would allow us to be born in America, I tell you, what a tremendous privilege it is. We ought to be very, very grateful to God. I was coming across some quotes that people have made about our country and about politicians in particular. This is election year. I got these from Brother Olette, Orby Olette, and he gave me a list of these. It says this: a politician is someone who shakes your hand before the election and your confidence after the election. A lot of truth in that statement. Here's another one. Remember, the politicians who promise a pie in the sky are planning on using your dough to cook it. So it's tough being a politician. Half your reputation is ruined by lies, and the other half of your reputation is ruined by the truth. You got to think about that one. Some people tell political jokes. We elect them. The statesman shears the sheep. The politician skins them. I like this one. Politicians are much like ships. They're noisiest when they're lost in the fog. When you hear them make a lot of noise, you probably don't know much what they're doing. Why is it most politicians don't seem to have all the answers until they write their memoirs? Very true. Here's a good statement, especially for this year. A politician stands for what he or she thinks the voters will fall for. And the trouble with most political jokes is that they get elected. So, nevertheless, that's where we're at. And I thank God for America. I want us to read together, if you would, verse number 12 in Psalms 33. We're going to just read that one verse all together in unison. Ready? Here we go, all together. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. I'm going to speak this morning. I'll try and be brief. I want to speak on a blessed nation. A blessed nation. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for the good service this morning. Good music has challenged and stirred my heart. I thank you, Father, for the freedoms we have as citizens of the United States of America. Lord, we ask you would help us this morning, that you would challenge us to be grateful for how good you have been to us. Pray that you would convict us of our selfishness in so many ways as a nation and as individuals. Lord, I pray you would stir our hearts to live for you, to have faith in you and trust you and follow your instructions, that we could see your blessings on this land again. I ask, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I present my body anew. I yield my will. Lord, as best I know how, I confess and forsake sins of my own heart. I pray that you could freely speak through me and challenge us. Lord, maybe, just maybe, you could start a spark of a revival in our hearts, in our church, in this hour, maybe that would spread and we could see you do a work in our land again. We're hungry for revival, Lord. We're asking you to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tomorrow is America's birthday. We're a pretty young nation as far as nations go. And yet, at the same time, we're a pretty troubled nation. I don't think there's a Christian in the service here this morning would not agree with me when I say we're very concerned about some issues and situations and circumstances we find our country in this morning. We're a changing nation. How many of us older folks, probably 50 or over, maybe 40 or over, maybe even younger, would say, this is not the America I grew up in. This is not the country I remember as a child and as a young person. We're a changing nation. We're a troubled nation. I think it's interesting. Many of the issues that we have as citizens and particularly conservative Christians, many of the issues we have with Washington, D.C. are very similar to the issues that the early colonies had with Britain. We're concerned about government overreach, the government stepping into areas the government has no business stepping into, the government exercising authority in areas that governments have no authority. The government has no authority to tell a church what they can or cannot believe. The government has no authority to try and dictate to a preacher what he can and cannot preach. Nevertheless, we are hearing statements like that coming from our nation's capital, that churches and preachers ought not to preach against certain sins that are very clearly sins in the Word of God, threatening fines and even imprisonment in some cases for Christians following the dictates of their own hearts. We're in troubled times in our country. We're in changing times. Many of the issues that you and I are facing in 2016, and many of our concerns with our nation's capital, as I said, are very similar to the concerns the early colonies had with Britain in their government overreach and in their overtaxation, in government restrictions and intrusions on our personal freedoms. I believe as citizens of the United States, we need to very carefully and very thoroughly reacquaint ourselves with the Constitution of the United States. With incredible ignorance. My wife had last night, she had gotten up on the computer, a video of a guy going around asking people questions just on the street. And you've perhaps seen things like this, but just ask people simple questions about our nation's history, about the 4th of July, the Independence Day, about our Constitution. And the ignorance that the citizens of the United States have about the most important document apart from the Word of God in our nation. Right. It's time for Americans and Christians in particular to reacquaint ourselves with the Constitutions and hold our elected officials, hold their feet to the Constitution. Amen. What God has used to bless this land in such a great way. Lord willing, in August, we're going to bring Dr. Chuck Harding in. He is a constitutional authority. Every week he's on Capitol Hill confronting our politicians and not just confronting, but actually trying to be a pastor to them, him and Dr. He's going to be with us for 3 days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. He's going to have what we're calling a constitutional awareness conference. And I want to urge everyone and everyone here and bring as many people as you can. This is an important issue and an important time in our country. So what I'm trying to say is this. We as citizens of our country need to reacquaint ourselves with our Constitution. We are a troubled nation. We are a changing nation. But this morning, my concern is not so much with the flaws and the shortcomings of our nation's leaders. My concern, to some degree, is with the sins of our nation. The sins of our nation are very grievous. I've been praying to some extent, along with Daniel. When Daniel prayed for Israel, he said, God, we have sinned against you as a nation. God, we have broken your law as a nation. And as a citizen of the United States, I've been praying, God, we as a nation have violated your law. We've blasphemed your name. We've distorted your principles. We've sinned grievously against our God. that's not the focus of my message, as concerned as I am with the sins of our nation and the disappointments with our land, the flaws and shortcomings. In spite of all of that, I still love America dearly.
Amen.
I am still very proud to be an American citizen, to live in what I consider the greatest country in the world. With all our flaws and with the changes taking place, I still believe America is a great nation. I believe America is worth defending. I still believe America is worth dying for. We thank God for the men and women who go to foreign lands, dangerous lands, and put themselves on the line so that you and I, are you listening? So that you and I can be free. So that you and I can be free. America is still a great land. America is still worth defending. America is still worth dying for. God has blessed the United States of America. And I think it's good, in the midst of all the campaigning and all the rhetoric and all the harsh words and all that's taken place, I think it's good for you and I as Christian citizens to stop this 4th of July and remember how good God has been to our land. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. God has blessed America. I just jotted a few things down, and I hope you'll try and catch the spirit with what I'm trying to convey this morning. God has blessed our nation with exceptional beauty. America is a beautiful country. I've been around a little bit, not as much as some of you, traveled around, and you know, there are some countries you get to, there's not a whole lot of beauty there. But America is a beautiful, beautiful country. This past year, Brother Lewis Howe is our missionary down in New Zealand. He's been down there 5.5 years. He's back in the States now. He's actually over in West Virginia. He was with us last Sunday night. I had the privilege the last 2 years to go down and hold revival meetings, soul winning revival meetings down in New Zealand where he's serving. And by the way, I just got a report yesterday from some of the churches down there. The results and decisions made back in March when we were down there preaching on revival and soul winning are still carrying. There's a number of churches out yesterday, out soul winning, giving out tracts and whatnot because of the meeting that we had back earlier in the year. But I was down there and as we traveled around, New Zealand is a beautiful, beautiful country. It's amazing, the islands down there and the geography and the mountains, the volcanoes and all that's a beautiful country. But you know what? I love Garrett County. It's pretty beautiful around here. I got a little place I like to go fishing. I try and slip out maybe one evening a week. I try and go down at Savage River Reservoir. I'm telling you, that is an amazing, beautiful place. I've been down there. I told my wife the other day, I got back, came home, and I said, you know, if you dropped me down at Savage River Reservoir and told me I was in the middle of New Zealand, I'd believe it. It's just as beautiful as anything I've seen down there. Out in the Rocky Mountains, the Great Plains, coast, West Coast, East, Maine. I'm telling you, God has blessed America. You and I live in a beautiful, beautiful country. We thank God. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam, God's blessed this country. God has blessed this country not with exceptional beauty, but with abundant resources. Now, we take this for granted. But you know, America, God has given to America, as far as resources, every possible resource we need to function as a nation. If we so desired, I don't believe we'd have to import anything. We could live off the resources God has given to us. So what I'm trying to say is this. We ought to be grateful as citizens. Grateful for God's exceptional blessing, the exceptional beauty of our country, the exceptional resources He has given to us. God has blessed our country, I believe, with an exceptional form of government. Now, our form of government is not perfect. We all understand that. By the way, anytime you've got man involved with it, it's not going to be perfect. But our government, by the people, for the people, is an exceptional form of government. I believe God has blessed us with it. Do we see corruption in our government? Yes, more and more so as the years go by. But nevertheless, I believe it's the best there is. And we ought to thank God for it. God has blessed our nation with exceptional beauty. He's blessed our nation with exceptional resources. God has blessed our nation with an exceptional form of government. I put this down, and this is where my heart stirred. God has blessed our country with exceptional freedoms. We have freedoms. You men and women that have traveled around the country, around the world a little bit, we ought to understand. We have freedoms that most countries do not have. We ought to be grateful to God for that. Our First Amendment says this: Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or the prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, the government can't force any religion down our throats, but neither can they stop us from exercising what we believe is the true worship of God. Respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, the most important document in our nation guarantees to you and I the freedom to speak, the freedom to worship, and the freedom to assemble without government intrusion. That is a tremendous, tremendous blessing of God. By the way, we can thank a Baptist preacher for the First Amendment. John Leland, Baptist preacher of Virginia, pressured Madison to include into our Constitution the amendment of freedom of worship, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. Thank God for our Baptist forefathers, the influence they've had on our country. Humanly speaking, God used them. So, praise the Lord, you and I can assemble here together. I can preach freely what I believe this book says. We can worship God as we understand the Bible tells us without government intrusion. You know, there's majority of countries around the world. That is not the case. God has blessed us. We have tremendous freedom. We ought to thank God for the freedoms we have as American citizens. The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amen. You know how few countries have that freedom? That right for people to defend our own selves, for us to arm ourselves individually and to be able to defend ourselves. Very few nations in the world have that freedom. But the Constitution guarantees that for you and I. And that's important. A number of years ago, there was a couple issues with gun control going on, and I had a young person say to me, we were discussing the Second Amendment and the things there, and I'm going to turn this on, Jamie. I didn't have this on, sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I could have blamed the sound room. That was my fault that time. But we were discussing the Second Amendment a little bit, the right to keep and bear arms. And a young person said to me, they said, why is that such a big issue? Who cares whether we can have a gun or not? Who can cares whether we ought to defend ourselves? That's not the biggest concern. I said, listen, if you and I lose that freedom, it won't be long till the First Amendment's gone. I believe the First and Second Amendment, the freedom of speech and the freedom to defend ourselves, are two vital freedoms in our country if we're going to have any resemblance of what we've had in years gone by. We ought to fight for those two diligently. And what a privilege to live in a nation that says that you and I have complete freedom of speech. They have complete freedom to worship God as we understand the Bible teaches us to worship. Complete freedom to arm and defend ourselves and our families. Now, what a tremendous blessing. We ought to thank God for that. We ought to thank God has blessed us with exceptional freedoms. I think these freedoms to worship, to speak, and to defend ourselves are three of the greatest freedoms known to man. I can freely express myself. I can freely worship my God. And I can freely defend my family and myself. I believe these God-given freedoms have allowed Christianity to flourish around the world in unprecedented ways. Stop and think about America. From coast to coast, from border to border, churches cover this land. Now, you can't hardly find a town where there is not some sort of church. Now, I know what you're thinking. The same thing I am. That is changing.
The churches are not preaching the gospel as they once did. And the churches are not holding to the Word of God as they once did. But nevertheless, because of these freedoms, we see churches covering and blanketing this land in ways no other nation can even imagine. Who was it? The fellow once said, America is great because America is good. And if ever America ever ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. You know what the factor is in America's goodness? Is the preaching of the Word of God in churches all across this land. And those freedoms make that possible. Churches blanket the country. Bibles in nearly every home in this land. You know what? That was the freedoms that our Constitution gives to us. That we can worship God. That we can own Bibles. There's hardly a store in Garrett County, you don't go where you can't buy a Bible of some sort. Go to the dollar store, go to the drug store, go to the Walmart. You can buy a Bible. We were in Kazakhstan, in Almaty. We were trying to find a place where maybe there would be Bibles available. We had to drive all over that city. We finally found one little Bible bookstore in a back corner of this alley. I don't remember where it was. We got in there. It's just a little store there, stuck back away. We go, and there they had a few Bibles in Russian and different languages. We don't have that in America. How many folks here have at least one Bible in your house? How many people have a Bible stuck in the glove compartment of your car or somewhere? Have a Bible that stays in your car? How many people have two or three, four Bibles in your house? How many people have, you don't even know how many Bibles you got in your house? Well, we ought to get on our knees and thank God for that. That is not common in this world. In fact, as I stand before you this morning and speak, there are people in some nations are giving their lives for no other reason than they own a Bible. North Korea, throughout the Middle East, certain parts of China. We got missionaries that could not go back to China for no other reason than they were preaching the Word of God. And here we are. We don't even read it. God, people are giving their lives for this book. I'm talking to some folks you haven't opened it up since last Sunday morning. Isn't that a shame? God's been good to us. Are you frustrated? Am I frustrated with what's going on? Yes. Is my heart broke over what's happened to my country? Yes. But I'm here to say this morning, we still got it pretty good. We still got it pretty good. God has blessed America. We are a blessed nation. Bibles in nearly every home. Missionaries around the globe coming out of the United States of America. I believe these freedoms are what enabled, humanly speaking, Christianity to flourish in such a way. Now, having said that, I want to remind us that even in countries where there is intense persecution, even in countries where there is very limited freedoms or none at all for Christians, Christianity still flourishes. What I'm trying to say is this: God and the gospel does not need the United States of America. We need God. And listen, if America would ever fall, and that's a very real possibility, but if America would ever fall, that will not be the end of the church. That will not be the end of God's kingdom. That will not be the end of the gospel ministry. God's church will carry on. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, as a nation, God has blessed us with tremendous freedoms. And we ought to be very, very grateful. While we're proclaiming our protest against the changes, and while we're speaking out against the sins that have overtaken this nation, we ought to also be on our knees thanking God for how He has blessed our nation. Blessed our nation. God has blessed us. A blessed nation is our country. God has been good to America. But America has been blessed of God not because of any inherent goodness on the part of Americans, but God has blessed America because of God's abundant grace and mercy. If there ever was a nation that has disregarded the goodness and the blessings of God, if there ever was a nation that deserved God's judgment, we are very quickly becoming that nation. We better stop. We as a nation better stop and think. Is this really the direction we want to go? Are these really the decisions we want to make? after God has been so good to us and given us so many blessings, do we really want to walk away from that? Do we really want to disregard God's word? If we want to understand God's blessings on our country, if we want to understand God's plan and purpose for our nation, if we want to understand God's dealings and judgments upon us, what we need to understand is who that God is that has blessed us. I believe we need a renewed understanding of God. I get out and visit, and sometimes even among God's people, I hear Christians sometimes make statements about God that are so unscriptural. The other day we were somewhere, we were out in public somewhere, we were sitting, and there, the other week our little granddaughter was in, and we took her down, there's a new ice cream store downtown, I don't know if it's new, we just found out about it, and speaking of ice cream, but there's a new ice cream store down there, and we were sitting there and we're enjoying her, and you could see the town, the city hall city hall with the dome. You could look across there, and there's a couple people sitting around some other benches, and they were talking, and she was pointing out, the grandmother, I guess, was pointing out to a young boy, he's probably about 10, 12 years old, and she's saying, see that dome there? That's the courthouse, and behind there, and he goes, yeah, what are those plus signs? And she goes, what do you mean? They're behind the dome. There's some things sticking up, these plus signs. She says, those aren't plus signs. Those are crosses on top of a church. And you know, it smote my heart. Here's a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy didn't know what a cross was. Thought it was a plus sign. You know what? We need to get back and understand who God is. The God that has blessed us so much, we don't even understand. We don't know who He is. We don't know what He's like. We have a country that's gotten to the point we don't even know how God operates. We don't know what He's like. We don't know what He expects of us. We don't know how He interacts with us. We were in Indianapolis. We're talking 25, 30 years ago, almost 28 years ago. And we're in a little park downtown Indianapolis. Now, Indianapolis is really part of the Bible Belt, in a sense. Churches all over that city. And we were out giving out tracts, and there was a boy, probably 14 years old there. And I said, here's a little gospel tract. And he said, what is it? I said, oh, it has Bible verses in there. It tells how we go to heaven. And got talking to him. I said, can I show you about it? Said, sure. Went through, and we went through the plan of salvation. I asked, well, you know how Jesus died? And he looked at me just puzzled. And he says, was he burned? I said, no, he died on the cross. Have you never heard that? He goes, no, I didn't know that. An American citizen didn't know how Jesus died. The God who has blessed us so much, and we don't even know Him. We don't know what He's like. We don't know what He's done for us. We need a renewed understanding in America of God. Listen, this God that created you and me, the God that owns everything, the God that we're going to stand before and give an account of ourselves to, do we know anything about Him? Do we ever give Him any thought? We have young people. I have young people who have told me stuff like, well, this is the way I think it is. Life. What's right and wrong? Consequences. Future. Well, this is the way it is. And have no idea. Totally dark as to who God is and what He's like and what He instructs us as His creatures, as His creation. America needs to get back to an understanding of who God is. I mean, in the most basic, fundamental aspects. Who is God? What is He like? We've got the most insane theories. We evolved from monkeys. Come on, give me a break. Oh, this all just happened. Come off it. You talk about blindness. It's right in front of us. We can't even see it. Well, I just think it's this way. Doesn't matter what you and I think. We need to find out what God is. What He's like. He's revealed Himself to us in His Word. We see His handiwork all around us. How blind can we be? From the early days of America, Americans, for the most part, have recognized the true and living God. Now, they may not have necessarily been followers. They may not have been Christians in the biblical sense of the word. But there was an awareness of the fact that there's a God, and He's powerful, and He is holy, and He is good, and we need Him. I like what Benjamin Franklin said. He says, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without the awareness of our God, I doubt seriously a nation can rise up without His aid. I have serious questions whether Benjamin Franklin was a believer. But I will give him this. He recognized God's hand in the affairs of our country. And that's hard-pressed to find nowadays. We need a new awareness of God. From the early days of our nation, Americans have recognized, again, in a general sense at least, the true and living God. They had a basic understanding of who God is and what He's like. One of the leaders of South America many years ago made this statement. He said, men came to South America seeking for gold. But other men went to North America seeking God. And we see the difference, don't we? We see the difference. If we want God's blessings restored to America, if we want these freedoms to continue on, we must return to the God who has blessed America. You hear this so often, I want to reiterate it. I believe it with all my heart. It's absolutely true. Our continued freedoms and God's renewed blessings on our country are not going to be found in any politician. Now, we ought to vote. We ought to be involved. We ought to express. We ought to be active as far as that is concerned. But I'm telling you, we've got to look beyond Washington and look to God to restore to America what we desperately need. America is great because God is good. And the more we fail to realize how good God is to us, the more we will lose His blessings. If you would, take your Bible with me and turn to Psalm chapter 9. Very sober passage here in Psalm chapter 9. And I want us to notice two verses. Verse number 17 and then verse number 20. Now remember, this is the Word of God. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17. Notice what the Bible says. The wicked shall be turned into hell. How many people agree with me? That's a pretty sober statement. That's God's Word. That's not a Baptist interpretation. That's God's Word. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And look at this. And all the nations that what? Forget God. Forget God. They knew Him. They understood who God was. They understood what He was like. They understood His plan and purpose for Him. But they forgot Him. An interesting term here, that word forget, has the idea of deliberately putting out of the mind. Deliberately walking away from. The farther we get from our understanding of God, the more dysfunctional we will be as a nation. Would you agree with me? And I don't want to dwell on this, but would you agree with me? America is becoming dysfunctional. I'm at the point where I'm glad when Congress doesn't do anything. Because every time they do, it's worse. I'm for gridlock. Yeah. The farther we get from the understanding of God, the more dysfunctional we become. As a nation, as a society, the farther we get from God, our understanding of God, the more riots we see in our cities. The more crime is going to take place. The nations that forget God, the more dysfunctional we become in our homes and in our lives. Look at verse 20. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. There's no fear of God. And when there's no fear of God, we get a wrong perception of ourselves. And we think so highly of ourselves. And when we get to the point where we think we can decide what's right and wrong, and when we get to the point where we can decide what is true and false, and we can decide what we are, and we push aside what God clearly says is right and wrong, what God, the creator of all of this, clearly states what is true and false, God clearly states what we are. We forget Him, we push Him aside, we disregard what God has to say, and suddenly we take for ourselves the authority and the audacity to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. What I'm trying to say is we need a renewed understanding of God. Renewed understanding. Refocus on God. What is He like? And I want to challenge Mount Lake Independent Baptist Church. In the coming months, let's get informed. Let's find out what's going on. Let's find out what lines up closer with us and do what we can on a human level. As far as voting and all of that is concerned, writing letters, calling. I wrote letters this week. I'm doing all the time. But beyond that, let's get to the root of the problem. Let's get to know God. Let's find out, as individuals, what He's really like. I want to challenge our young people. The God that created you and all of us, the God that made you, find out a little bit about Him. What does He expect from you? How does He work? What has He told us? How does He interact with us? How does He respond when we do certain things? I mean, He's God. He's here right now. Seriously. As real as Bill and I are standing here, God is here. You can't escape His presence. Do we know anything about Him? Do you understand what He loves and what He hates? Are we aware of the fact that one day we will see Him, stand in immediate presence of Him? Wow. The greatest subject a person can study is God. Because He's who we have to do with. We're going to spend forever somewhere, heaven or hell. And my understanding and my relationship with my Creator determines where I spend eternity. Sounds pretty important to me, huh? Let me ask you a couple questions and I'll quit. Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure that when you die, that God has forgiven all your sins? And that you go to heaven and not to hell when you die. Let me back up. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever give any thought at all where you're going to spend eternity? You probably have insurance on your house because it might burn down. You don't want to be caught. You don't want to be stuck. I need to make sure that my house is secure and safe. I hope you have insurance on your car. In case you might have an accident, something might happen, I want to make sure I'm covered. What about your soul? You are going to die. You are going to go to heaven. You seriously want to leave that up to chance? You seriously just want to risk that? So do you ever give any thought, do I know that God has forgiven me my sins? And that I go to heaven, not to hell when I die. If you have that settled, if you know that's a settled fact, according to the Bible, and we can know that, the Bible says these things are written unto you, believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We can know that we're forgiven. We can know that we're going to heaven. If we have that settled, if we've trusted Christ and gotten that settled, let me ask you this. Are you living for the God that made you and suffered hell for you on the cross and rose again? Are we living for Him? Do we take Him seriously in our lives? Do we have any consideration what He wants us to do as individuals and what He expects of us and what He's promised us? America is great because America has, because God has been good to America. And if we want that continued goodness, we better find out a little bit about this God. Make sure we know Jesus, our Savior, and that we start living for Him and pleasing Him and get this world's nonsense out of our head that we can somehow choose for ourselves what's right and wrong. We can somehow decide for ourselves what's true and false. No, no, no. We need God. And we desperately need Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that You would maybe use this challenge this morning in my own heart. One, we want to renew our gratitude for Your goodness to us and Your blessings on us. And two, Lord, we want to renew our commitment to You, to know You and live for You and please You in our lives and how we live and how we work and interact. Now we can know that You are pleased, that You can bless us. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many this morning say, "Preacher, you know, I'm with you, preacher. This holiday weekend, this Independence Day weekend, I want to deliberately, on purpose, be grateful to God for the goodness that He showed our country. Maybe we haven't thought much about it. Maybe we got caught up in griping and criticizing." You say, "Preacher, by God's grace, the next few days at least, I want to stop and be deliberately grateful to God how good He's been to our nation." Is there anybody like that would join me with that? God bless you. Hands all around. Surely we want to do that. Let me ask you this question. How many this morning say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know for sure my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I've got it settled the Bible way. I know that's settled. As far as my Christian life is concerned, how I'm living my life as a Christian, it's not what it ought to be. I need some attention to my Christian life, my relationship with the Lord. I need some attention to my testimony." And you'd say, "Preacher, pray with me. I know there are some adjustments need to be made there. I need God to help me be that Christian He saved me to be." Is there any like that by the uplifted hand? "Preacher, pray for me." God bless you. Hands all around. I'll tell you what America needs more than anything else in Washington. He needs good, godly Christians in our towns and our homes. And let's take that seriously. Let's commit ourselves to get to know God, who He is and what He's like. One more question. You're here this morning. You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that when I die I go to heaven." Trust me, nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. You say, "Preacher, I'm concerned about that, and I would like for God to help me settle that in my own heart and life, that I can know that, and I don't have to worry about that." Is there anything like that by the uplifted hand? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell, and I need the Lord to help me settle that in my heart and life." Is there anybody like that at all? Just slip up your hand and we'll pray for you along with the others. How about it? Any at all? God bless you. How about it? Others? "Preacher, pray for me. I'm concerned about that." Father in heaven, thank You for blessing our country so much. Thank You for providing so much for us. And now I ask You to start a revival in our hearts, a renewed love for You, a renewed commitment to know You and serve You and please You. We ask You to be merciful to our land, that You would extend our freedoms for another generation at least. I pray, Lord, that You would renew Your blessings on our land, blessings of godliness and purity. I pray You revive our church. I pray You revive this preacher and help us to be the people You intend for us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.